Do you find it hard to say no to a request from someone you care for?
Mm-hmm.
Saying no to our partner's requests can be kind of difficult. Many people will oftentimes say yes to requests for the wrong reasons, like fear of our partner's reaction or fear of losing their love. But it's important to both show compassion to others and also show compassion towards ourselves. And to do that, we sometimes have to say no to their requests.
Learning to do this compassionately ensures that we stay in connection. It also ensures that when we do say yes to our partner, we do it from an open-hearted place rather than a resentful, accommodating place. In this episode of Master Your Marriage, we're talking about how to say no to our partner's requests without falling out of connection. Let's go.
Did you know the average couple waits 6 years to get help in their marriage?
Yeah, that's 6 years of pain, hurt, and frustration.
Hi there, I'm Charlotte Snow.
And I'm Robert Snow.
And welcome to Master Your Marriage,
where we believe that having an amazing marriage should never feel like hard work and shouldn't be a guessing game.
This is the show for married couples who want to discover a scientifically proven approach to building a masterful marriage and have fun while doing it.
So if that's you, you're in the right place. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another episode. We are so grateful that you're here with us today. If this is your first time joining the show, welcome. And we thank you for being here. Make sure that while you're here, you smash that subscribe button on the top corner or bottom corner of your player, because we drop a new episode every Wednesday and we wouldn't want you to miss it.
Also, remember that you can also leave us a question or a comment for the podcast by calling us at 801-669-8513. And just as a reminder, you guys, if you're getting value out of these episodes, please support the show. Whatever platform you're listening on, we just ask that you please head over, leave us a 5-star rating and a written review. It helps more than you think.
So much so. Well, today we have another great episode to share with you, and we're talking about saying no and how to say no without worrying about it causing damage to your intimate connection. And I will tell you that as we were preparing for today's show, we had a large conversation about what this was like in our relationship. And so we have some stories to share with you.
And we certainly have been through it.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
We're going to share that. And as Robert said, it's important that we are able to say no without it damaging our intimate relationship, because staying in connection is so important for emotional intimacy.
Yeah. And if you remember back to some previous episodes, intimacy is the level of closeness between two people. The most stripped down definition of intimacy is knowing and being known. And the most successful relationships are those where the couples are able to fully reveal themselves to each other, which, by the way, takes an awful lot of maturity to be able to do this.
Oh boy, does it ever.
Yeah.
Because knowing someone often comes with discomfort, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's parts of all of us that are a little hard to know.
Yes.
But in order to move toward a place of intimacy, it's essential that we see those areas that we often keep hidden so that we can move toward a safe relationship in which they can be revealed.
Our true needs are among many of the things we need to reveal to each other in our intimate relationships. Over the last 3 weeks on this show, we've spent a good bit of time talking about how to have the type of relationship where we compassionately strive to make each other's lives more joyful and more meaningful. And we do this by supporting the needs of one another. But that can be taken too far, because sometimes even good things can be taken too far. So today we want to talk about when meeting your partner's needs can become problematic.
And this is such an interesting topic, and it comes as a result of receiving a great question this week, which was, what if I can't always meet my partner's needs? What if in doing so, it makes me feel bitterness or resentment?
Oh, been there.
What if doing so causes me to betray my own values or my own needs?
Yeah, this is such an excellent question.
It is.
Yeah.
And there's actually a really perfect term that describes this question. It's not a super commonly used term. If you go Google it, you're probably not going to find it. But it's one that I learned from the work of Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife. And the term is resentful accommodation.
Let's talk about what that is and why we would even think about doing it. And then towards the end of this episode, we will, as always, provide you with some solutions and strategies for saying no to your partner when it's appropriate. So first, let's define resentful accommodation. Resentful accommodation is meeting the needs of others at the expense of our own needs or our own desires.
Yeah. And boy, have we all not done this at some point or another in our lives?
Absolutely.
Right? Think of those times where someone has asked us to do something and we say yes instantly without really thinking it through and without thinking about how it's going to impact us. And then later, we're mad. We feel resentful towards this person who had requested it of us, even though we're the ones that chose to say yes and could have just as easily said no.
Yeah. How many times have I said yes to something and later I'm mad that I have to do it?
Totally.
And it's just everybody. And I don't know why I say yes too much, but I got to work on that for sure.
Right. So this is about boundaries today.
It is. Yeah. So that is resentful accommodation. And there are many versions of this, and they happen in relationships all of the time.
Yeah. And resentful accommodation is always going to be a losing strategy. Okay. Yeah. When we do it, what we're silently conveying by doing it is, I will give you everything. I will pay attention to you, but I won't pay attention to my needs at all. And I do this so that you will think highly of me, so that you'll love me, so that you will value me and validate me. I will do whatever it is you want and need without consideration of my own needs. I won't even expect anything in return, not even your kindness or your respect.
And this is always going to be a losing strategy, right? I mean, it doesn't even sound like it works, because inevitably you're going to have some resentment or some contempt for the person who made the request and because you are the one who acquiesced. So let's talk about maybe a couple of examples in relationships.
Okay. So this first one's going to sound really familiar.
Yeah, this one sounds pretty familiar. So let's say, for example, I have a friend, a husband, who's trying to save his marriage. His wife has been emotionally and sexually distant, and they sort of feel like roommates. Instinctively, he feels like if he forgoes all of his needs, things will go back to how they used to be. So he goes around walking on eggshells for fear that if he, you know, doesn't want to upset her, so he complies with every request, even if it means betraying his needs or pushing his needs down to second and third or 15th mm-hmm. position. He doesn't even share his needs with his partner or make requests because he just wants to keep the peace. He avoids sharing anything personal or vulnerable, and he worries that he can't say things that would otherwise be helpful or loving because he's afraid of what would happen if he shares his thoughts or concerns with her. His resentment is growing each passing day.
All right. So before we share another example, let's pause for a second, because that example sounds like a lot of men that I talk to, and it sounds like you at some point in our marriage.
Yeah, no, we had, you know, not all of that, but there was a lot of that in our relationship and I had some of my own issues. I had some abandonment issues. So I was so afraid that Charlotte was going to leave me that I just, you know, I didn't want her to see me as weak. I couldn't be vulnerable. I'd just do whatever she asked me to do because then she would see me as valuable.
Right.
Right. And if she saw me as valuable, then, you know, now I'm this good husband and a good dad, and she couldn't see her life without me. And that was really my goal during that time. But as a result, like, I'm resentful for the stuff that I'm not just the stuff that I have to do, but I'm resentful because I'm actually pushing my needs down.
Yeah.
Right. And when I push my needs down, then now I'm not able to connect intimately with her. And so that's sort of how that played out with us, not quite to that degree, but.
So
there was
I think
a lot of those pieces there. Right?
Really interesting, as you and I prepared for this podcast episode and we talked about that time in our marriage, which was early on, I also realized that that's when we were most disconnected.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So even though you were giving me whatever it is I wanted, whatever I needed to the expense of your own needs and desires, you were also not letting yourself be known to me because you weren't sharing your needs with me. And so you just became this robot and our relationship became really disconnected.
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I wanted you to respect me and need me, but now that we're disconnected, there wasn't any respect or really wasn't any need. How could you respect me in that situation?
And that's why this is a losing strategy, because it pulls us out of connection, and resentment is never going to be a winner in our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So let me give you another example of resentful accommodation. This is a story that I heard just recently from someone, and it was a wife who had discovered her husband's hidden porn habit, and she was really upset by it. But she was mostly upset because of the insecurities that it brought up in her. So it plagued her with insecurities and all of these intrusive thoughts that she wasn't good enough. And so what she did in response to that is she started drastically changing herself to get his love, to get his validation, to get his approval. So she went and got surgery, which I have no problem with women who want to get surgery, but she did it for the wrong reasons. She did it to try to get his validation rather than doing it for herself. She changed a lot of her personality. She changed the way she dressed. She's changed the way that she had sex with him in the bedroom. She stopped kind of like even looking for her own needs to be met there. But what was interesting is simultaneously, she was also checking up on him all the time, checking his location, going through his computer history, asking interrogating questions. So she disrupted her whole life to be able to accommodate him in attempt to also manage and control this habit that he had, which obviously we can't, you know, that's not going to work.
Yeah. And the similarity between these two examples really is feeling like you're not enough and mm-hmm. seeking approval from the other person.
Yeah, doing things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah,
so instead of saying yes to our partner's needs because we want to do it as a way to make their life more wonderful because of the joy it gives us, we're doing it out of fear or out of guilt or some other reason that isn't coming from a good place.
And there's no power in that.
No, it's giving up our power.
Yeah, there's no strength in that. And as we're going to talk a little bit later, you're going to see how you can gain the strength there. So those are just two quick examples of losing strategies, because over time, either of those behaviors will lead to more and more resentment. And we always have a choice whether or not we want to subjugate our own needs to someone else's. There's always a choice in that. For example, one of the topics that has come up on this show before is how extended family and in-laws can create conflict for couples. And we know those individuals that take it upon themselves to host all the big family parties, sometimes they do it, and often they resent the fact that they chose to, you know, take on those tasks.
Oh, right. Like, I think every family has someone like that in their family. So just think about that as an example, because I think that's something we can all relate to. And so let me expand that a little bit more. And as you listen to me do that, think about where in your life you feel resentment. Maybe it's in a situation like this, maybe it's in a different situation, but let's say in this example Robert brought up that you're the go-to person at all family parties. So you're the one that hosts the gatherings and you're getting resentful about it, but you do it anyway. And so you're the one who feels like you have to do all the cooking, all the cleaning. So you're in the kitchen, you're preparing the food, and you're thinking to yourself just in your mind, you're thinking, wow, it sure must be nice not to have to worry about anything right now. It sure must be nice to just lay around and do nothing. It must be nice to just show up at parties and just have fun and be carefree and never have to do any work. Yeah. And while you're having those thoughts, maybe your body language is giving off clues about the way that you're feeling and your resentment. Maybe you're shutting doors really loudly and sighing and breathing heavily.
Yeah, nobody wants to be around that, actually.
No, I think that resentment shows up whether we think we're hiding it or not.
Yeah, and then it tends to create that wonderful space that you thought you were creating by having everybody over to people not wanting to be there.
Yep.
Yeah. The truth is that you don't have to be in the kitchen. You're choosing to be in the kitchen. You could have just as easily sat down and played games with your family, but you chose to be in the kitchen. And now you're resentful because of your choice. As hard as it may seem, there really was an alternative choice.
Right. And this is a tough one because, you know, you and I talked about this as we were preparing for the episode. There's been times when you felt like you didn't have a choice. And as we prepared, it was like, oh yeah, I have to see that I actually had a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. At times I didn't feel like I had a choice in the in-law situation.
But I think that was also like coming from a little bit of a more undeveloped part of you back then.
Oh yeah. Right? And I wish that I had the tools that we're going to share later. Had we learned this earlier, as we probably say in every episode, the stuff that we're teaching now, we went through it. We had to learn the hard way. And if we had these tools, I think we could have smoothed out the road a little bit. Not that it wouldn't have still been, you know, windy, but maybe there wouldn't be as many deep pits in it.
And certainly you would have recognized that you actually had a choice, that you didn't need to say yes, that you didn't need to resentfully accommodate me or other people in my family.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Right. So what's interesting about resentment, and I find this really interesting, is that it is a complex emotion. There's lots of different emotions that are kind of built into it. But one of the emotions that's often part of it is jealousy. Because when we take on all of that burden and all of that responsibility, I have to cook, I have to be in the kitchen, I have to clean, right? When I take on all of that responsibility, we take that onto ourselves and we do it at the expense of our own needs. The truth is that we become envious of other people who are able to set boundaries, who are able to balance their own needs with the needs of others. And so even though we're not really recognizing that, we're jealous of other people who can set boundaries. So jealousy is a big part of what we're experiencing when we experience resentment.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we get right down to it, resentful accommodation is doing what you think other people expect of you, whether or not that's actually true. And often as not, it's not true.
No, I think it's off. I think often it's not. I remember just hearing a story recently from a mom who felt like she had to cook dinner every night. And she had to be the one to do the dinner every night. And finally, it was like, wait, you do have a choice. You could not cook the dinner every single night.
Yeah, you don't have to be that way.
It was so funny. Her kids, when she like came home one night and she's like, I'm not cooking. They were so excited because the way she cooked dinner, the way she prepared dinner was she did it resentfully. And they hated that. They hated the energy of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, there's a lot of energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what then causes us to accommodate others in this way? Why do we do it? Like, I know that I did it out of some fear or guilt, but like, what are some other reasons?
Right. So let's talk about some reasons why we do this. So lots of different reasons. I would say first is we do it for approval. So instead of helping someone, like we said earlier, to be able to meet their needs because it brings us joy in contributing to their well-being, we actually choose to accommodate them in order to get their approval.
Yeah, I can see that. Another possible reason is fear of losing the relationship, which in my case was where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And for some individuals, this fear is exacerbated by the worry that if they lose the relationship, they're going to lose their anchor. They'll lose themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they accommodate the other person because they're afraid of who they are or who they'd be without this other person in their life.
Exactly. So what's another reason? Well, sometimes, and this is kind of similar to the first one, but one other reason why we accommodate is without, you know, regard for ourselves is because we want to get someone's praise. We want to feel valued, or we want to get validation from that person. So maybe what they're thinking in this situation is something like, well, I must do this. If I don't, then I don't know if they'll love me. I don't know if they'll want me. Perhaps my partner will leave or choose or want someone else if I don't.
Yeah, that was my fear probably.
Yeah, so it's maybe part of it. So, yeah. So you know, that means I have to do whatever it takes to keep them to stay. And I think this is illustrated well in the example of the wife who found her husband's porn habit. You know, if she's willing to do whatever, even surgery that she doesn't want, to try to get his attention and his validation, that's a problem.
Yeah. And sometimes we do it, and I'll say in my case, to keep the peace or just to keep things from falling apart. And because that can seem as dangerous, right? We might seem like we're doing it for virtuous reasons, but we're really not letting ourselves be known. We're not letting our desires and our needs be known to our partner. And remember, knowing and being known is necessary for connection. And I will say it's necessary for intimacy. So this becomes a barrier to intimacy.
Yeah. All right. So those are some reasons, but here's the truth that we want to leave you with and to take away from this is that to be a strong, Robert talked about the strength, right? To be a strong human being, we all have to really know our needs, our desires. We have to know who we are. We have to know what we want and we have to know why we want it. And then take it a step further. We have to have the maturity to be able to express that even when it seems hard.
Yeah, it's so hard, as we've talked about in the last number of episodes, to really practice telling your partner what you need. We're so not used to that.
We have to develop that maturity to do that.
And that's the beginning of this piece of this episode. So if you haven't listened to the other ones, listen to the past three episodes that build up to this.
Yes.
And that will tell you how to build that framework, right? So we need a different framework for how to say no or or even how to address these requests. And we need that framework so it allows us to make a decision in the moment about how we want to consider other people's needs and requests while also considering and honoring our own. And we need a framework for how to compassionately decline a request rather than just saying yes and acquiescing to all requests.
Right. So backtracking just a little bit, and we've said this already and we've said this in past episodes, it's our human nature to want to contribute to one another's well-being.
Yeah, that's, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's a wonderful thing. That's how we're meant to live. And we want to have the kind of relationship where we're looking for a way to create the highest and best good for both parties, where we are able to have each other, help each other to have a more wonderful life.
Yes.
The point we're trying to make here is that we want to ensure that we aren't doing it at the cost of ourselves. So it's kind of like it needs to be this balanced equation where we're able to say yes with a full open heart, but we also need to be able to say no at times without falling out of connection with this person that we love.
And that is the hard part, right?
But we're going to make it easy.
Yeah. So how can we compassionately say no to requests? Saying no requires three things. So grab your pencil or open up your notes app. And here we go.
It's actually much easier than you think. And as Robert said earlier, I wish we would have known this early on in our marriage. So definitely take notes on this. This is good stuff.
Right. So first, when our partner makes a request, we want to begin by receiving that request as a gift. They're actually giving us a gift when they ask us to do something. I know that sounds weird, but stay with me. They're opening themselves up and letting themselves be known to us. And they're giving us a chance to contribute to their well-being. Remember, letting yourself being known and being known wholly is bringing intimacy, right? So receiving what they've had to say as a gift and a first step is the first step and really how we want to say no. And this is mostly done nonverbally, right? And through our reaction and our body language.
Yeah. So think about that. So when someone makes a request, 93%, we use this statistic a lot, but 93% of what you're communicating is nonverbal. So your face, when you receive that request, even if you think you're playing it off, your face will betray you. Your body language, your tonality, like all of that is important to think about. So this is mostly, we receive it as a gift. It's not really like an actual thing that we say. It's more of just how
we
receive it and take it in.
Yeah, because frustration will show so quick, right? So step one, be grateful for the request. This signals to them that their needs are important to you and that you're sort of respecting that they've brought this need to you, even if you can't meet their request at the time.
Perfect. The second step, there's only three, so this is actually quite easy to do. The second step is to be aware that just saying no by itself is not great communication. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not a great response.
It's not, especially if we want to stay in connection with them. So let me give you an example. Let's say, for example, Robert comes to me and he says, "Hey, Sharla, do you want to go to Lowe's with me?" Now that's a bid for connection. So if I just say no, or no, I'm busy, obviously, right? That might come across as really cold and a rejection to his bid to connect to me. And that's not the ideal response, obviously, if I want to stay in connection with him.
Right. But here's the thing. Anytime a person says no, what they're really saying is, "I would like to help you, but I have a need of my own that keeps me from doing this thing that you want me to do." So then, well, rather than just simply saying no, or worse, getting defensive or mad, we need to tell the other person what our need is, what the thing is that keeps us from saying yes.
Right. So an example again. So if Robert asked me if I was willing to help with the laundry, okay, so maybe the laundry piles have been stacking up and it's a house is a mess or whatever, right? And he comes to me and he says, "Hey, would you help me with the laundry?" Rather than saying no, I would want to express the need of mine that I have that is behind my no. Because there's always a need of my own that's behind my no.
Yeah, there's always something that there's a reason, right?
Right.
And sharing that need.
And that reason is a need.
Yeah, that reason is a need.
So maybe I would say, you know, "I really want to help you, but right now I'm exhausted. I'm very tired and I have a need for some rest." See what I did there? I shared my need back with him. So I let him know what my need was that was keeping me from helping him with the request that he made, which, so my need was rest. And so that obviously sounds a lot more compassionate right off the bat, right? Than just saying no, but there's more.
It brings understanding, right?
Yes.
It brings understanding.
So, and empathy.
Yeah. So the third ingredient, right? And the third step for compassionately saying no is to search for a win-win or a way for everyone to get their needs met. So I want you to pause and think about this. So the person who requested something of you has a need, right? And then you spent time sharing your needs. So now we're connecting on our needs. This is great stuff. So how can we find a win-win? And in Charlotte's situation, a great win-win is like, hey, I want to help you with this, but right now I'm tired and I need some rest. Would it be okay if I took a 30-minute power nap and then I come help you with the laundry? So that creates her need is understood, my need is understood, and we've created a compromise. And now we're back to, you know, saying yes instead of saying no.
Yeah, just compare and contrast those two answers for a second and think about how they feel. So on one hand, there's just the straight no, or maybe something harsh like, why should I have to help you with the laundry? Obviously, I've been working all day and taking care of the kids and doing that. Why don't you do the laundry for once?
Right.
Right. Which is oftentimes what people do and how they respond. But what if we tried it like Robert said and just said, you know, I would really like to help you with that, but right now I have a need for rest. Would it be okay if I took this power nap and we got together and worked together on this in about 30 minutes?
Yeah.
How different?
Oh, that's perfect.
Are those two responses?
Right. And it's a win both ways. And then, you know, now we're not running down to the cycle of resentful accommodation.
And I think that's the key, right? It's like figuring out what is inside of each of us and having empathy to what each person's needs are and finding a way to create that balanced equation. So let's just review the three steps really quickly. Okay. So number one, first start with a warm, empathetic response to the request from the other person. Remember, this is mostly nonverbal. Your body language is important. And this helps so that they feel like their request was understood and that you value their needs. Okay. Their needs are important to you.
Right. So second, don't say no and avoid saying things like I can't. We don't want to say something defensive or nasty. What we need to do is we need to state the need that we have, the thing that we have within us that is keeping us from saying yes, sharing that with them.
Perfect. Then we end with a request that searches for a way to get everybody's needs met. So in this case, it was, could I take a power nap? And we do this in 30 minutes. So that was the request.
Yeah. And what we love about this format is that it encourages us to have some balance. It encourages us to check in with our own needs and be compassionate to ourselves before we respond to requests. And when we do this, I feel like it helps us to wholeheartedly say yes. So when it's a yes, it's an all-in yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it also encourages us to dig in and compassionately say no at times, rather than just dive into this resentful accommodation, right? It's much more loving to say no.
To say yes.
Than to say yes with resentment.
Yeah, it's much more loving to say no than it is to say yes with resentment. I think that's the big takeaway from today's episode. And you know, these tools that we've shared with you today, they really apply to all of our relationships. I mean, we could practice this with our kids.
Yeah.
We could practice this with our coworkers, our friends, those, you know, other people in our life. And I bet it would make a big difference in helping us stay connected to all of those people who we love.
Yeah. Well, we'd love for you to try this formula out this week. And if you do, we'd love to hear about how it goes for you. Drop us a note or come over on social media this week, and we'd love to discuss it with you.
As we wrap up this episode, we just want to tell you once again just how grateful we are to all of you. And we just ask again that you continue to support the show. Remember, that algorithm really does depend on your ratings and your comments. And so for us to be able to make a bigger impact in the world and to reach more couples, we really do appreciate your continued support. So if you haven't yet already, would you go ahead and show us a little love by leaving that 5-star review and a written comment? And more importantly,
if there's anyone in your life or in your circle who you feel like this episode could help, please, please share it with them. We'd love to have more people and more reach so that they can get some benefit from these tools as well.
And of course, as always, be kind to each other this week. Take care of each other. Remember, it's the small things that we just strive to do more often that make such a big impact.
Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Marriage. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, then we want to hear from you. Just go to MasterYourMarriagePodcast.com and send us your question.
Oh, and while you're there, you can also check out our retreats and events and even apply for coaching.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you get advanced notice of when the next episode drops, plus show notes and many extras. Thanks again for tuning in.